and welcome to the 10HP podcast. Each month, we nominate a game for our game club, play it, get together, and talk about our experiences. I'm your host, Chris Peters, and with me today is Paul Main.
Hi.
Scott LeMay.
Oi.
Glorious Tran.
Howdy.
Ricky Flint.
Howdy.
And Anthony Nguyen.
Howdy.
Ricky's our newcomer today, and Scott is returning from last month.
Woohoo!
Welcome, Ricky.
Howdy.
And Scott, I guess. You've already been here.
Yeah, I know.
He's not a newbie anymore.
No, he's not special anymore. You are not a special snowflake.
Special in my mind.
That's what his mom said.
This month we took a look at an indie game, Unepic, as nominated by Glorious. Glorious, why did you pick this game?
These Metroidvania-style games have always had a special place in my heart. I always loved Symphony of the Night. I kept my copy long past its expiration date. It's all scratched, scuffed, but I kept on playing it. So I really like the side-scrolling adventure story with tons of gear to collect and a big castle map to explore.
Cool. Spall, what did you think of this game?
It did not hold my interest. I only completed the first 10 hours of the game, and I would say that I don't want to finish the next 20 or so.
I don't think it takes 20, but we'll talk about that later. Scott?
I liked it. I wish I had more time to play it, and it was fun for what it was.
You were extremely upbeat about this when we talked about it, and we'll get into that more, but yeah. I was really surprised at how much you liked this game. Glorious.
Oh, I liked the game. Caution. I like the game, but I wish the controls were a little bit more responsive.
All right. Ricky?
I'm really happy Glorious bought it for me and I don't have to buy it for myself.
That sounds like a negative comment.
It was all right. I think for what the price was and your expectation was sufficiently low, then yeah, it was fine.
For a $10 game, yeah. What more could you ask for? Anthony?
I had my ups and downs with the game. I had moments where I actually wanted to come back and play it and everything, but there are moments that turned me away. But overall, I like the game.
Okay. I think that this was a game that was really ambitious, maybe not graphics or sound-wise, whatever, but it was trying to do a lot of different things with systems, and some of that stuff was really frustrating and made me not want to play it. But ultimately, I did enjoy it, and I wanted to play more, but the game wouldn't let me play more, so we'll get into that. So, Unepic is a side-scrolling Metroidvania game, and it's an RPG. Well, you level up stats, you gain experience by killing monsters, and you build potions, and you level stats in different weapons and things. And
you get loot.
And you get loot. And it's really hard to describe because it has so many systems that draw from other things that it sounds like a lot of other games. So let's jump right into that. I felt that it was a hard game to figure out. It was an easy game to start playing, but they really didn't teach you how to play very well. A lot of the systems were hidden or just slow to explain.
Or instant death. Learn through death.
Learn through death. A lot of things were learned through trial and error.
There were a lot of points where you're just stuck, too. Like, where do you go? Where do you go? What do I do?
What kind of place?
I felt like that.
When did you get stuck?
I got stuck at the beginning when I cleared out the area, and I'm like, realized that those gargoyles were keyholes.
Okay, that's a great example.
Like, oh, that's open secret door A.
I mean, that's a recurring thing that comes up through the whole game, is that every time you go into a new area, you have to put a key into the gargoyle's head and open up that new area.
And you have to learn like what background items are interactive.
Right.
Then that's trial and error as well. Like those bookshelf, at a certain point, I'm like, I'm questioning everything. I'm going to try and activate everything that looks odd and out of place.
Well, did they talk about torches? They explain that like in the tutorial section, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that would be something that...
The torches kept changing. Playing the game without torches.
Well, the torches kept changing their appearance, and it was hard for me in some sections to identify what a torch was.
Oh, yeah, true.
At first, and then I had to go through and figure out.
Just light everything until you hear that sound.
Exactly, until you figure out what the torches are.
Like, I'm not done with this level yet.
Or you use the scroll Illuminate.
We're going to talk about that. There's a lot of different scrolls that do basic mechanical things, and I didn't know about them until much, much later. But, like, the key thing when you click on it, it says, you know, you don't have the key to the library or wherever.
Yeah, right. And it makes an annoying alarm buzz sound.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know at first you could mark those on the map. So when I finally got the key to the first place that I had to go, I'm like, which of these doors is it? And I'm going around trying to find every single one of them till I can determine which one is...
I thought they mentioned in the initial tutorial where they said the map, make notes on this map.
Do. Oh,
yeah,
God.
But they don't...
Yeah, no.
Why do you have to make notes on a map, though?
I find that very useful. And I wish it existed in another, like...
They should have had a little icon
on the map. You just need an icon on the map that tells you, like, this is the garden entrance, or this is the mines one, or whatever.
All of this stuff should be automatically annotated when you find it, because, yeah, you really forget, like...
What I also noticed was there was no map button on the UI. I couldn't find it. So you actually had to press M to bring up the map, right?
Oh, what a burden.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that map's not obvious. It's like, oh, you're drawing this map, and you're like, well, where is it?
So how did everyone play this game? Like, do they use the keyboard, or do they use, like, a controller?
I use both. I primarily use keyboard, but then Chris said to try it out with the controller, and I tried it out with the controller for a while. Worked all right, but I still found myself going back to keyboard.
Control pad 100%. With whenever I need to use a keyboard, then I'd use it. But
yeah, I'm with Anthony. I use the control pad, except for the parts where I had to use the keyboard, because mm-hmm. there's impossible to play the game completely with the controller.
Yeah, so I had a debate about this with Chris, whether it was possible to use the controller the whole time. And I do agree that you need the keyboard for a little bit of it, at least to like do a lot of those functions, like... not managing your inventory, but just like targeting creatures and things like that.
Well, you can target creatures with the trigger button. The left shoulder trigger is target.
Oh, the left shoulder trigger is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I would never knew that.
I use the keyboard for my less often used hotkeys, scrolls and recall.
Well, yeah, like I found that there were too many spells to map to keys. And yeah, you couldn't put all of them on keys.
Well, one of the problems is that the game doesn't pause when you're like looking through your inventory or anything.
No, nope.
Because they could just avoid all of that if you could just pause the game and like use a scroll or do something that you're not going to do every so often. Or, but if you need to
scroll,
you know, if you just need to immediately access something in your inventory, you have to have it mapped to a key, which I found very annoying.
Yeah. Another complaint about scrolls is even though it's a chore to use. There's this long casting time where it wasn't, you know, scrolls weren't useful to me when I needed them in the heat of battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the way with spells, but I got used to it. I found that as a hoarder, I just didn't want to use scrolls.
I liken this to the classic D&D syndrome where you get magical gear and wands, limited charges, and scrolls of spells, of fireball, and things like that. And you said, I'm going to say this for a real bad fight or something like that, and you never end up using it. You end up completing the adventure with tons of unused gear. So that's pretty much what happened. I mean, my bank is littered. You know, there's a bank in an epic. It's just littered dozens of scrolls that I've never used, and dozens of potions I've never touched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to use wands. That was my primary ranged weapon, or that was going to be my primary ranged weapon until I used all the expenditures on my first wand, and then I'm like, maybe I need to find something renewable.
Did you put points into wands?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I put a whole bunch of points into wands.
Right, yeah. I put points into useless things, too, not realizing that I couldn't get them back. Apparently, I can later, but at least to the game that I got to, I could never take them back.
And that was one of the things that the game doesn't teach you. And even worse, you don't get all of your stats right away. So you don't even know what you might want to buy until the game's almost over. I mean, you don't get healing until like more than halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And then you start to get alteration at the end, which lets you, instead of using scrolls to teleport to different places, you could just learn those teleportation spells.
Hmm.
You don't get that till like the end when it's useless.
I don't know.
And there's no time to level it.
Right.
Yeah. And are we going to talk about stat points? Because I don't like that you can't preview what putting a point into a stat will do.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. And there's no confirmation. It's just, you know, one click commit.
Well, it's like when I was, you know, I'd been putting points in Constitution for a long time, but I didn't remember why. And then I was talking to you guys, and I'm like, I've got 10 points in this. Why am I doing it? Do I need to keep going? It doesn't explain at all what that skill does. There's no way to tell. Maybe in the tutorial they explained it, but there's no way once you're already into the game to tell what that skill does.
Constitution?
Yeah.
Health.
Well, right. But if you just like highlight it, it just says Constitution?
Yeah.
There's no numbers next to it. If you're going to put a point into it, how much is your health going to go up? Is your health going to go up? Is that what it does? If you've forgotten, you don't know. I know.
There's a lot of it, I think the developer, is based off, he bases off these off of assumptions, we're gamers, we're RPGers, we should expect that our health to go up when we put a point into Constitution. And of course, it's trial and error, right? So I put a point in Constitution and my health goes up, so I was like, okay, that's right. So, and later on, I'm like, you know what? I want a lot of health, so that's why I keep leveling up Constitution. Armor, robes, do you see any points when you, do you see anything when you put a point into those stats?
Right, you don't.
You don't. So you don't know what they do.
But you know that some have requirements.
That's
you
right.
See yeah. That, say so you need level
exactly,
nine.
Yeah. So that's why I was leveling up my armor all the way, even though the armor I was wearing, I actually didn't find any armor. I didn't buy any armor, so I was wearing ranger clothes, despite pumping up my armor.
But you know there's a difference between armor and weapons?
Yes, yes. Oh, I learned this much later, yes.
Okay, so yeah, you can't equip armor if you don't have the skill.
Wait, did you buy armor?
But you can equip weapons.
I later bought
armor. Well, you can't equip the epic weapon.
Not the unique ones.
Unique. Okay, yeah. The unique ones you can't.
Yeah, so I think that was an interesting mechanic to allow you to kind of semi-preview a new weapon by just equipping
so
it.
So you can
non-unique weapon?
You can put non-unique weapons, but you use them really slowly.
Yeah, you set for a speed penalty for each level difference.
I felt that even with the normal weapons.
So, yeah.
But why didn't they do that with armor? Why didn't they just give you a penalty and you could still wear it?
Well, I think because weapons, they can give you a penalty to like swing, slow speed, but what do you do with armor?
You just make
walk
them worse.
Slower.
Yeah, or walk
or
slower.
Slower would penalty. Be good.
No, that would be so annoying. That would break.
To begin with.
That would turn players away, I think. You walked really slow. And it's like,
yeah, you're not supposed to be wearing this, but this is your for having that much defense, that's what you get.
Well, I mean, there's other things too. Like, I get a robe and it says like I need level 4 in robes, but I'm level 1 in robes right now. Like, I didn't have any, right? So do I want to put 4 points in that just to get the robes? And I don't know going forward that I'm going to be able to get other good robes or whatever.
This is one of my complaints because I found a unique dagger that I thought would be really cool, but it's level 9. So I put 9 points into the daggers to try it out.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't like how this thing attacks. I can't take back these points.
Yeah.
And I switch back to my handy
axe. It is so annoying.
So there is the ability to respec in this game.
Once.
But we're not sure. Is it just once?
It actually says you only get this once.
Yeah. Okay. Why?
I don't know, but we were wondering that because Anthony's the only one actually that I knew that finished the quest to get the item, and then we weren't sure if it was like a reusable item or just a consumable.
During the quest description, it tells you it's one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I suppose the creator of the game could probably change that to allow you to.
He could, but he hasn't, and he says that the single player is 100% complete. So
yeah, and I think that's his intent. It's like you are building a character this way, but in case you're probably experienced with the game by now to know what you want
to
do.
I give you that option. He wants you to play the single player multiple times.
Well, I have a response to that, and that's that you still haven't gotten all your skills at that point. I mean, by the time you get to the catacombs, you're still missing like 3 skills that you're going to get. You haven't gotten healing. You haven't gotten alteration.
You got healing by that point.
Yeah. You get healing in the catacombs.
Yeah.
No.
Undeath, what's Undeath?
Arcane. Then you get it.
Arcane? Oh, maybe get
Arcane.
Gardens, pretty sure.
Gardens
is on the book.
Catacombs is the light spell.
This is my problem. I didn't get that because I couldn't figure out how to get the pot that I could put the Mandagora plant.
Who's your dealer?
I didn't know how to get up to the place. You had to kill all the bats in the room in order to get the ladder to spawn, to get the pot, to get the plant, to get the thing. And so I skipped that part and I went on to the next section. I never got healing.
I found myself going to YouTube a lot to do the walkthroughs.
Was that where it was? Because I looked on wikis and stuff, which are totally useless, and then I just gave up and just kept plodding forward when
I got
stuck.
It's like a 40-part walkthrough.
I got to
I actually would like somebody to write a non-YouTube walkthrough, because I find those things
painful. It's still a new game. It's still early access. That's why the wiki isn't fully,
And you get paid for YouTube. There's no, you get paid for game facts.
That's true.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, I'm OCD about clearing stuff, so I found it because I killed everything on the map and found a pot, marked it on my map. There's this bunch of pots on the ground, and so that I can come back to it later.
Yeah, and were they still there?
Oh, that's a good topic for us to talk about.
What?
We'll
talk about that. That's mechanic later. Let's keep going with the systems that we that we had trouble learning.
Well, I wanted to go back to your comment about having all the scrolls and everything.
Okay.
Because it just, I don't like it when games give you like all these abilities, but they're always one-time use. And I never feel like I can use them. It's kind of like, you know, we're all hoarders, right? Like, yeah. Did anyone like use all of their scrolls?
See, nobody does it. Yeah, yeah. So I'm a hoarder with a threshold, so that I do start using scrolls when I think they fit in a certain situation, because I have more than one. I have at least three, so I can use one, and I don't feel like I'm using it.
Okay, so how many scrolls did you use the whole game?
Oh, like three.
Okay. So, I mean, they're used very rarely, so I just don't see why you put them in the game like that.
Well, I felt I wanted to use potions. I put a lot of points into potions because I wanted to be like buffing myself all the time and doing that. But I found harvesting materials and actually making a significant amount. And potions only last like 30 seconds.
Plus, you got to find the empty vials.
But those are reusable. So it's always like you can carry like 20 potions.
But it's the materials. I mean, when I need three bat wings and two frog eyes, I've got to go find five of those things to kill, and they have to drop it. So I'm probably have to kill 10 things to make one potion that lasts 30 seconds.
As soon as I found out that it took materials for those things, I'm out. I'm not doing potions. I'm not doing
it. Well, I think the one thing that they could do to fix that kind of situation is what they did with the cook and the essences, because I hated farming for essences. But once, after a certain point in the game, about halfway through the game, you start making money like fast.
And you just buy the ingredients outright.
I just buy the essences. I think that at that point, they should have made the potion ingredients or materials available as well. You just buy them and
Too. I totally agree. And, you know, actually, that was another system that confused me. I thought essences were limited because they would always say, like, 10. And then you would buy 10 and then they'd be out. I'm like, oh, I can't buy any more.
No, that's just your goal.
That's what he figured out later.
It doesn't tell you that.
Right. No. I thought, oh my god, this guy's only gonna have 10 of these things, and how am I gonna survive on 10 red essences? I need more for my fire.
When I thought the same thing, I also ended up buying multiple things that were useless. Like I bought, there's this box that will show you where the next like spell guy is or whatever, and it said, oh, there's three, and I'm like, oh, well, how many spell guys do I need to find in the game? So I bought three or whatever.
But
you know,
they're reusable.
Turns out, reusable.
You know what sucks too on that is when you try and sell it back too, it's at an significant less buyback rate for
the
vendor.
But that's like somewhat 10%. Typical of games though.
Yeah, but normally it's like half, right? This thing is like 10%, and it was like, oh, that's such a rip. I just lost so much gold on that.
Yeah, there's no cancel or do-overs in this game at all.
Yeah.
I guess it's part of the game though. That's how they wanted it.
So I had trouble with when I first encountered the Moai head boss, I don't remember what it was called. That was when I first learned that I had to have ranged for the game.
Which
because
boss?
I couldn't reach him. The Moai head.
Oh, okay.
It was before you go into the sewers.
He shoots the
He's
rings
a mini
at
boss.
You and with the ladder. And
a mini boss.
Ladder.
Yeah, mini boss. Yeah. Okay, I remember him now.
And I'd not put any points into any range except wands. And I didn't have any more wands because I'd already used them. So at that point, I dedicated my life to fire, which was pretty much the only spell I had. And that fixed my skill points for the rest of the game, is swords and fire. Swords were the first weapon I bought, and fire was the second. And that's pretty much all I had points to do.
Wait, so just stop on that. I mean, like, that was true for me, too. It wasn't swords. It was something else. But fire, definitely, because, like, how could you go through the whole game and then only at the end when you get, whatever the alteration, class of magic is, and then just put all your points in?
Well, Frost came pretty quickly after Frost Fire.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, it was 10 hours in basically for me when I got the Frost one. So,
Let's see, and me, like I said, I get delayed on healing. You don't have to get those, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to. That's technically a side quest.
But actually, it's a good point, though, that, as many of us went with fire as we did, because fire is just, it's, you level that up first. Just either because it's your first magic group that you get. Yeah. And so you're used to casting from that pool. Then when you start getting other ones, you're like, Frostbolt versus Firebolt. Which one do I want?
It's only really two, though. I mean, that's all you get. You don't really get any other real offensive classes of magic.
You do.
Well, then you can buy the books that have other spells. But what do they
those
do?
Are two, those are two trees, like fire and
I know, but if you buy Fireball,
Alteration,
like,
Alteration has no direct ability. Arcane has no direct ability.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's a little cloud, sorry. But
that's a best spell.
But that's one spell as opposed to a multi-use, recurring, repetitive ability.
That has a dot.
Yeah, and I didn't go any magic, by the way. Oh, I got by with level one bows. Level one bows, basic bow. And like Chris told me, like, you know, maybe because I kind of gave up the game at the halls, point of the halls, and, you know, because you said, like, maybe because I didn't account for that and I was having trouble with the enemies. But when I played today, you know, I actually broke out the ice pet, and he was slowing down the guys who were giving me trouble enough so that I could actually just, you know, avoid their swings and kill them.
Right, and if you let the ice pet go long enough with that guy, he'll freeze him, and then you can break him.
Like I was waiting for that freeze, though.
It takes a long time. It takes like 5 minutes.
Well, they're slow enough for me to actually just walk past them before they finish their swing and just.
Well, you know, you saw what I did. I didn't even like I just jumped past them.
You just walked. Oh, I know. Like I said, you know, I like
to kill them.
I like to kill everything. I play these games because of the action.
Right.
Wow. How disappointing.
Okay, so let's talk about other systems that they didn't teach. I didn't find out about the challenges until about 3 bosses in, because I never knew that you could just hit a wall and go through an invisible wall.
There is a place in the game where it says, like, don't hit the wall or something like that. There's like a sign if you read it.
Yeah.
And so that's where you can figure it out then. But before that, there is also places you can hit the wall. And I didn't know about either until you guys told me about it.
But, you know, Anthony and I, we didn't even actually need to read or know anything about that because...
We were trained in our...
trained in other Metroid.
So it's just another one of these assumptions.
Like a trope.
You just swing at everything in that game. You played Metroid. You've done it. You laid bombs everywhere, fired missiles everywhere.
Yep. Then, Anthony, I just showed Anthony the section in the bureaucracy quest area.
Yeah.
And it is the most obtuse... hidden wall. You have to be at the top of a ladder, just under the part where you can't jump off it, hit a wall, and then you go into this secret area. Like, you can't hit it from the ground. You can't jump up that high.
Yeah.
And you just have to, like...
That is way out of the way. I jump and swing at walls, but I won't climb to the top of a ladder, fall down, and swing... And hitting one side of the wall and then repeating it to hit the other side of the wall.
And that is right not in my inside that area
toolbox.
There's another hidden wall. So you have to hit the wall inside the hidden area.
Is this, I don't know about this quest, but is it like a secret? I mean, because the games used to have quest. That, you know, where like you're playing Super Mario and you would just jump above the level and do something.
The challenges are a secret, right?
Yeah.
They're invisible walls. You need to find the secret areas to get to them.
Yeah. But this bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy quest isn't.
Okay.
But that's a side quest. That's not
necessary. It's a side quest.
Yeah, it's not needed.
But let's see. What was I thinking in terms of the walls and there's a spell that actually covers that. I think it's under the mental category. Or
there's a scroll that will also reveal hidden walls.
Mental.
Too.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, there's going back to spells. There's spell schools that you will never ever use, and I can't because either A, they come too late, or B, they're
useless.
Well, you have to invest so many points till you get to the good stuff.
Right.
And so I would say protection. That's the last spell group you get. It has some neat spells where you take like a third less damage or prevents all poison.
It's not worth it.
But it was
so late.
It would have been useful maybe as the first spell group.
But, yeah.
But not the last one.
If you're dedicating, if you're dedicating all your points as you level up, you don't have these extra points to experiment
with. Another way this might have been good is, and this goes into my initial assessment, if after finishing the game you could keep playing with your character... And keep leveling up and getting like way more points.
Yeah, I was hoping it'd be like that. Like you could become a master of everything.
Yeah, you're never going to get there because once I got to level 16, it took me like 3 hours to get to level 17. And because that's like 16, I can just go finish the game.
Yeah.
Or I can wander around and kill old stuff in the map and
farm materials for your potions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it did was I ended up just going to the hardest places or the most lucrative places I could find, getting money and then getting enough materials for the 666 quest.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in continuing to play beyond the end. So you're never going to get high enough level to allocate extra points in all these different skills.
I remember in Castlevania, if you beat the game on like one difficulty level, Do you get to keep it?
Which Castlevania are you talking about?
Hard Plus?
The Symphony of the Night?
Or one of those. I thought it was you got to keep your character for the next difficulty level.
Symphony of the Night didn't have a replay. It just had Inverted Castle, right?
They had the Inverted Castle. And I think there was a Hard Plus mode or an EX mode, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so. And then they actually changed the monsters in the map.
It'd be awesome,
stronger, right?
Yeah, yeah. It'd be awesome if you said if you beat the game, like you said, then you could just play again on a harder level.
Well, yeah. Like if you beat the game,
or you can start over and keep all your stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. New game plus with everybody's increased health and damage.
Right.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, this doesn't exist. You can play again on harder. You just start from scratch, and it's just harder.
Right. Just for fun. Yeah. Like
you take your experience with you. Out-of-game experience.
You're better, but yes. Your character isn't better.
And I think that's definitely needed for hard.
Let's talk about leeches. So
I love leeches.
I thought that was an extremely novel mechanic. Hated the way it was introduced.
Yes.
It's just another one of these things that they don't really explain, and it's frustrating. You go back to the base, you heal up, you're still taking damage, you don't have any status effects. What is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You save the game and you're still losing life.
Right.
I remember thinking...
I quit the game and came back. I'm sure a lot of people have done that.
I was sitting there playing.
I did.
And I literally was eating a hamburger and I was thinking, what's more annoying? The poppy seeds in my mouth or the fact that the leeches are sapping my strength?
But they did the same thing with bats, and by the time you get to the bats, you already know what's going on, except you don't know to look for
you
bats.
Yeah, exactly. The first few bats weren't doing it. These later bats are now leaving themselves in the inventory. Yeah. And the early bats do it now. After you meet the bats later in the game?
Really? No,
they don't. They don't?
No.
I went back.
Maybe you just had some from some other place.
We may want to come back to this later about how some actions in the game come back and change some of the... encounters.
Oh, but they did tie the leeches in to later in the game.
To a side quest?
Yeah, to a side quest. It was super, super annoying, but I thought it was... It's just another clever, novel thing that they tried to do. Mm-hmm. It was not fun, but it was creative. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
And the side quest I'm talking about is there's this guy who
has a daughter.
And he wants his daughter to
not marry.
Marry this warrior.
Strongest
warrior. And he refuses. So he says, you're not going to marry my daughter. You're not going to marry anybody. So he pays you or hires you to get a bunch of leeches and put them on his
genitals
and just ruin his ability to procreate. And so to do that, you have to get 8 leeches on your body
and then
run to him, and he's way different, far away from the sewers. So you've got to get them and keep them alive, and you'll be losing 8 hit points the whole time you're trying to get back to him.
Can you teleport?
Yeah, you can teleport.
So the only thing I found disappointing with that quest was it specifically says, don't alarm the other orcs. So I ran around walking behind these orcs, taking damage, and I screwed it up. And then came back the second time, I just killed the orcs and walked through.
So it didn't matter.
Right.
If you
say the mechanic, don't alarm the orcs, then how about there's a penalty for alarming the orcs?
It wasn't so bad because I had the regeneration spell at that point. So
yeah.
I was only net losing 2 hit points.
This is in the mines. I did this quest early.
I came back to it... Well, I didn't have the spell. I had the potion.
The potion.
Potion lasts how long?
Lasts a pretty long time.
That one actually lasts a long.
Yeah. Oh, because, Barking Dog quest,
Okay,
No. That one will not save you. I tried it.
But the thing is, I chose the potion for that.
You can't drink it.
Hmm?
Well, you can drink it before you go.
Yeah.
And then you run for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does like 4 hit points every half second or something.
Yeah, it's a barking dog. I couldn't even find it for my first half of life. I'm like, where's this dog?
I think it ties into Anthony's initial thing where you learn stuff through death.
Yeah.
The first time I ran through it, I made it about halfway before I died. The second time, I got a little bit further. The third time, I actually made it to the dog with just like a sliver of health. And I was like trying
what
to
do
hit,
I do?
Hit the use button to try to muzzle it or something. But no, and then the fourth time it would kill me.
So just to explain, in case people don't know, that there's this part where you go through this door, and then there's this dog, and he's just barking.
Wait, outside of that, the girl asks you to do, hey, please help me, a little girl, and go through the door and fetch something for me. And then you tell Zeratul, Zeratul tells you, don't waste your time, and you say, no, I'm going to help this little girl out.
Okay.
Right.
So there's a quest lead-in.
Yes.
Okay, so you go through the door, and there's this little yappy dog there, and he barks. And every time he barks, you lose, 4 hit points. And it interrupts any spell you're trying to cast, and it interrupts if you're trying to open the door. So you
drink a potion.
Anything you try to do. So you can't do anything but walk while you're taking this damage. And you just You can't get out of here. You can't use the teleport. You cannot leave this room.
Okay, let me interrupt there. I went into this room much later in the game, just, I don't know why, for fun. I forgot what was behind the door. No, actually, no, the little girl was there. I knew what was behind the door. And the dog's back and yapping.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Did you ever kill it? I don't know.
Yeah, I killed it.
Okay, well, anyways, he's back. He respawns in his room, and he's yapping. But if you keep trying to exit the door, eventually you will be able to get out.
Oh, really?
And then I walked back in because I was trying to get out.
Spamming it.
Yeah, but I had like 600 hit points in, but it's just annoying that, you know, there is an escape. You can leave the room.
Anyway, so you got to zigzag up the ladders really fast, get over there and kill the dog before you run out of hit points. And this is pretty much a death trap. Because you have no real warning that this is how this is going to work. This is a totally new mechanic. And
yeah.
You almost guaranteed.
And the girl seems so innocent. That's what I was saying. It's like, it seems like a innocent lead-in to death.
Right.
And then when I encountered this quest for the first time, I was playing on hard difficulty, so that when you die in hard, you reload from your very last save, your manual save. So I ran into a lot of problems, like, you know, I explore a lot of the map, light up the screens and everything, and then I said, oh, what's behind this door? Death.
Well, a lot of the guy's design seems to be this death trap kind of thing, because in multiplayer, it's just one after the other of things that kill you and just kill you outright. The thing is that in multiplayer, you respawn just a few steps back and your other guy stays alive, so you just keep going on.
So you're not losing progress. You're only losing steps.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're getting pushed back, but you're not losing progress. The game isn't restarting.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of thing. It's like there's no way for you to know in advance. You're just going to die this one time until you figure it out or multiple times.
I think Chris and I were the ones who played multiplayer, but for everyone else who didn't, it's actually a whole different series of quests and stories that you play. So basically, the way they lead into it, they said, like, it's actually a neat intro, because they say, the GM says, oh, by the way, let's try this other adventure we got going.
Is it the same map?
No, it's not the same map. Completely different maps, completely different areas.
And there's new bosses, and the bosses are actually pretty... Okay, I don't know how all the bosses, because we only played one level, but the boss that we played was really quite interesting.
It required us to actually coordinate, because basically the boss would spawn more minions the more you attack.
Every time you hit it, it throws out a slime.
Wow.
What kind of slime?
Just a little bouncy slime. It just bounces around randomly.
Not the slippery hand slime.
No, not the slippery hand slime. That'd be really annoying.
Yeah, but so...
It actually was a giant piece of poop. And it was bouncing poops that it was throwing out. But anyway, I'm going to call it slimes.
But, yeah, so the interesting mechanic.
So, yeah.
Anyway, the thing is that if you hit it really fast and did your damage really fast, then you got overwhelmed by slimes. So, and it would throw them out on random sides, and the guy was huge, so you couldn't, like, switch sides you were on. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do was coordinate one person would hit it, a slime would go out, that person would go kill the slime, and then we'd hit it again.
Yeah, so, because if you actually didn't hit the boss for a while, he would actually send out a pulse.
And just do damage and cause poison to you.
So I have a question on that. So on the multiplayer, did they basically encourage you to try different paths? Or basically you guys were leveling up your skills and the same things?
You had all the skills unlocked.
Oh, okay.
And from the get-go. And you can pick whatever you want. I picked some fire, but I didn't have any spell. Or I picked something, but I didn't have any spells yet. You have to find them.
Right.
I assume they're loot from the bosses. I didn't get any. but there's also like this. We'll talk about multiplayer more. But I really think the gold of this game is going to be in multiplayer. Because that looks like it's an endless leveling of your character. And you get to try more things and be...
There's new abilities, new spells that, you know, that he added to the game that, you know, do all kinds of nifty effects. Like, you get, what was it? Like, double jump.
Finally.
Actually comes into play. Just like I said, all the cool nifty things that we saw possibilities for.
Anyway, let's go back. Let's finish up our section on learning game systems and the difficulty there. We have four more examples of difficulty. I don't know how many we want to actually go into. I do want to talk about Neuron, but we'll talk about that last. Anthony had the time rewinding orb section, which was annoying.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not... I mean, basically what happens is there's a section where you run through a series of hallways, and there's these orbs spinning around in circles, and you have to jump over them and dodge them, and they're all going at different speeds and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like a platform stage.
Or you cheat and use the phase door scroll three times.
Oh, yeah.
But they told you about it in the room prior.
Yeah, so you go through that, and it's a challenging jump thing or really easy with three scrolls. But the thing is that when it hits you, you get sent back to the beginning. You have to do all three rooms again. And it doesn't have to just hit you. It can hit your pets. And that's what happened to Anthony.
Yeah, I did not realize that my pets were getting hit when I was being sent back. I was like, I'm timing my jumps right. I'm dodging it. Is it my hitbox? Am I just not... am I not seeing it? And it took me a while to realize that it's because of my pet.
Huh. So, Fornicate Quest... What Scorpion Boss? Let's talk about why are those written down?
Oh, well, the Fornicate Quest is like, you know, it's early quest, and you have to fight this guy. He's like the first mob who doesn't get stunned by your weapons. So, and I was early in the game. It's another instant death quest. You know, it's like, oh, go fornicate with some female orcs. Go in and I drop down. I fight everything.
Do they take the ladder away?
No, they don't take the... Okay. I don't know if it was a one-way drop. I'm not sure, but the thing is, like...
You can't mate with the females until you get the totem, and the guy drops the totem.
Oh, so you have to kill the guy. Okay, yeah. But anyways, I came back to that. Once again, I in my early plays, when I first learned everything, I was playing on hard, so it was really frustrating to have to relight rooms and everything. But yeah, I came back when I was much stronger to take that guy on.
Okay.
And the Scorpion Boss... I keep joking with Chris. I call him Scorpion. He's a mini boss, the flying dragon thing who pulls you. And I call him Scorpion because, get over here type
He throws like a chain and pulls you in and you land in spikes.
Yeah. So Chris warned me about this guy. I've met him for the first time and, instant death.
Yeah.
Pulled in his
spikes. There's a little rope above his thing that you can grab onto.
No, yeah.
If you're thinking about it and you realize that that's what's going to happen.
Oh, that was actually... what you call it? Game reflexes kicked in at that point. As soon as he yanked me in, I was like, oh, rope.
Well, I have a hard time catching those ropes when I'm planning on it.
Yeah. I don't know this rope because he's in the dark, right? He's like, oh, I see a boss there. I'm going to go see what he's doing. I'm not paying. And then he, pulls me. He can pull you when you're climbing up on the stairs, too.
Yeah.
You're trying to climb down again. But actually, I'll just share this trick. I beat him without actually fighting him by using the plant guy.
Oh, drain hit points?
Yeah, because you pop up on the ladder, and he's just not doing anything. The plant's just sucking his life, and you climb down, unsummon your plant, summon it again, and I saw him, and I thought, I wonder if I could beat him this way, and I experimented, and it turns out you can.
Okay.
You should rename that plant to Nate.
The last thing I want to talk about is Neuron. We're going kind of slow, so I'm going to start speeding things up, but Neuron. Great boss, best boss.
Okay, please describe him.
Great mechanic.
Library boss.
Library boss. So this is how the boss works. He's a giant eyeball, and he floats around in the sky.
He casts a spell on you that...
The only one part of the mechanic's interesting. The fight is pretty monotonous. What he does to you is the interesting part.
So he cannot be damaged by any ranged weapon. And the only way to hit him is to climb up this ladder and rappel down a rope, and as you're falling, hit him once.
Or twice
if you're good at it. I've never got twice.
I got twice.
But the ropes are on either side going towards the middle, and he can be on either side, and he moves around the room. So
part of that is also a guessing game, too.
Right, guessing which side he's going to be on. So he does this damage to you, which like ticks away four damage at a time, which is just an eye beam that goes straight to you. It can't be blocked, can't do anything
it's
about it.
It's basically you're taking it damage thing. Over time.
But that's not the mechanic.
That's not the mechanic that annoys you yet. So
yet.
That can be interrupted by hitting him. Yeah. So if you get there fast, then you stop him channeling that, and then he starts up a little bit later.
And you can regen faster then, and it's not a big deal.
Right. So as he takes damage, he starts to do things.
He goes through different levels.
Confusion.
What's the first one? I forgot what it was.
Shoot, I don't know.
So the first one's pretty minor.
The first one is pretty minor.
What is it, though?
It's not suicidal.
It's not reverse controls.
That's the last one. That's the third
one. Reverse controls is...
Reverse controls is like the third one. Suicide is the second one.
I think the first... Well, what one was
the first one?
The second one was pouring out. No, that's later.
That's okay. We don't need to dwell on the first one.
So basically, he mind controls you.
Right.
And he does something to you.
Right.
So one of the mechanics is you'll start. We'll do them in order.
We don't know the first one, but the second one is that you go suicidal, which means if you have a spell that does area effect that will damage you,
like fireball,
when you get into a range of a wall or something, he'll cast it. And it forced you to cast it. You can't do anything, and then you'll take damage.
Okay, so then you have to, like, maneuver yourself so you don't...
No, you can't maneuver because you have to go near the walls. Yeah,
okay.
So you need to drop all your essences so you can't cast that spell.
Basically, the way they hint it is, if you manage to outfight it or out-clever it and jump in the right time, he'll cast your recall right before he dies. And they'll say, oh, you shouldn't have cast a recall.
No.
That's way later.
Yeah.
No, but that's the mechanic they teach you. You're so far in, but they've taught you you need to drop stuff. So they teach you that?
They tell you about it?
It says, you cast a recall. I guess I shouldn't do that again.
Oh, no.
That's the first,
that's way after you're in.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's build it up for Paul here, okay? Yeah. So another thing is he makes you do is he reverses your controls so that left is right.
But funnily enough, up is still up and down is still down.
Yes.
Well, no, it's not totally reversed.
You know, it's just disorienting.
Yeah.
You do switch that. Then he starts to have you... dump your potions.
Right. Yeah, you dump your potions. Just spam dumping anything in your inventory.
You're not consuming them. You're stopping and pouring out your potions, and you have these empty vials.
And you can't move, and you can't do anything else.
I think you can jump.
He said if you jump...
That's why I told Sir Chris.
So what are you... While you're you're dropping all your potions,
you're taking damage
over
time. He's still damaging you for four ticks a second.
Your guy's just sitting there being controlled, and you're not doing anything?
Well, he's not really controlling you. He's forcing that command. He's pushing the menu.
I was telling Chris, like, you can actually fight that by continually jumping.
Yeah.
So you can still make progress.
So basically, any command that you could do in the menu, he's doing to you.
Okay.
And then finally, when you've got him down to very little life, he uses this item in your inventory. What is it?
Halo.
The halo.
Right. And you get teleported back to start
over.
Yes.
Right. And that's where they hint that you should drop your stuff.
Yes.
Right. And I dropped everything. I dropped every scroll I had, every halo, every potion. I dropped everything going into that. And then,
what do you fight him with?
Your axe or your melee weapon.
So he doesn't drop that?
No.
So I instinctively went back, right? They teleport you back to the door, and I dropped every potion I had, everything. And then when I got back there, they're like, oh, you should try this again, but this time drop your teleportation. So I saved the game, and then I went back to fight him, and I'm like, shit, I just saved and dropped all my potions.
So I have a question about that then. But what about the thieves? Don't thieves come?
That's what Chris is getting to, right?
Yeah, so the thieves have all my stuff, and I never went to get it back, but then I didn't think about that until much later.
You know there's a thief portal, right?
Yeah, and I had to do that actually one time when they stole a quest item. There were only eight of them, and they stole one of them.
Yep.
And I couldn't finish the quest.
When you first meet the thieves, or janitors as I call them, they tell you what to do.
No, they do. They do. Yeah.
They say, drop an item, see what happens.
It's true.
You have to lure them out. They said basically lure them out.
Yeah. By the time you actually need to use the mechanic, you've forgotten like what's going on. At least that's what happened to me, because it was like 4 hours later that I needed to go get something. Mm-hmm. And they only introduced it this one time. So I didn't, you know.
Do you stop moving and like shake or something? Is that the first one?
In real life?
No, like fear or something? I don't know.
Still talking about Neuron.
Yeah. So the thing about Neuron is that you fail every single time you learn a new mechanic.
Yeah, it basically hits all these different stages, and then you learn. And oh man, I was just I told Chris I was about ready to quit the game on the last one when he teleports you out, because he's down to this tiny sliver health, and I was like, yes, I finally got him. And then all of a sudden, I went through all these mechanics, reverses, all the stuff. And then he teleports you out. I was like, crap.
Chris, you almost destroyed your computer, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't get that angry, but I did decide not to play anymore after I defeated Neuron. And the only reason I started playing again is because of this podcast. And I'm like, I really should finish this game. But I was like, this guy is so bad at introducing mechanics.
It's interesting mechanics, and I think they could have done it better. They could have kept it the same thing, but just not make it permanent.
Right? Go light on this. I mean, it sounds... Gosh, I would be so frustrated if, like, at the end when you got the guy down to the very end and then you get teleported out, I would just, I probably would quit.
Yeah.
I think,
No, but Chris is saying that dumping the potions and using the scrolls was just painful.
Yeah.
It's
destructive. It wastes your time as a player.
And it wastes resources, too.
Well, the resources are your time. Like, you could get those back. But you have to go play and find them or buy them.
I would argue that that's not the case, because he made me dump potions that I didn't have skill to build or wouldn't get access to.
You just have to play long enough to get that skill.
I know. But I'm just saying that
I understand.
That what they could have done is they could have introduced it in a more gentler format where it's like, okay, you die or you teleport.
A game that introduces, teaches game mechanics via death. That's pretty gentle.
Well, I don't mind that. It's just
So Ricky said something about a bank. So are you talking about the Thieves Guild?
Is no,
the
you bank? Can actually have a personal bank in this game.
Do you get that before Neron or after?
Neron. Yeah, I guess it's in the library where Neron's located.
That's where I put all my scrolls in the Halo. And this goes back to another problem I had, which is I didn't know where the bank was. I went there by teleportation, dropped my teleportation scroll to there, and then went back to – I exited there, but I forgot where it was on the map, and I couldn't find it. I had to look up at a tutorial where they find it and find out where they were on the map in order to get back there. And then Glorious told me the exact same time where it was. But
2 squares to the right, 3 squares up.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't write that on the map. I didn't know to annotate. I didn't expect to have to ever annotate that. And I lost my Halo. I couldn't can't function without that. But anyway.
Kind of Chris found that funny, but nobody else.
So it just seems to me like this was a cool idea that kind of went wrong.
There's a lot of cool ideas in this game.
I don't think it went wrong. I think it served its exact purpose.
It did, but I mean...
You think they're really trying to troll us that hard? You think the designer really wants to be that much of a douche?
It's a douchey mechanic.
I will say this, though. No boss in the game gets as much thread hate on the forums as Neron.
That's not a positive thing.
Yeah, the developer, he's mentioned he's going to try and fix it, though.
He's going to try to tone him down.
It's good. I mean, it's creating conversation, and I like that. And I think that the mechanics are good, but I think Paul is absolutely right in that they need to tone it down, or whoever said that.
Because most of us wanted to quit.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want the game to make you want to quit. You want the game to be like, oh my god, that was so hard, but I did it. What? That was so hard, I never want to touch this game again.
That was so hard because and I got screwed over by a douchey mechanic.
Right. And I got cheated because there's no way for me to predict this.
I think but the developer had to be laughing all the time.
No.
Well, see, that's the douchey part, right?
It's a serious game, though, right? Like, he's trying to sell this to make money, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, or is it just like a giant joke?
No, it's not a giant joke.
The game is kind of funny, though.
I mean, no, the thing is, where is he? What country is he from? Because this is basically a one-man team who did this. Right. Yeah.
He bought some. He got some South contributions, America? And he bought some assets, you know, art or music or something. But for the most part, just one-man show.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, he's genuine. It is something he loves, and he wants to, you know, put into the game and introduce all these mechanics and everything. And
all these culture, the writing was very much to our crowd, and all these pop culture things. You know, the end of that. That one ending was about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's pretty recent stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can see that he has a love for this stuff. So, let's talk about saving the game.
Yeah.
What about it?
I mean, so you guys were talking about autosave, and I just found the autosave really annoying because it would always autosave like when I'm on low health or something.
But you just play on hard, and then you don't have to deal with autosaves.
Right. But my point was is that I didn't find the autosave feature super useful. There was a few times that it was useful when there was like I had to do some jumping or something, and I would die that way. But
I thought the autosave, I mean, because it prevents – it's basically brings you back to a point before you die. Yeah,
but you have no control over what point that is.
No, you don't. But the thing is, I mean, the alternative is you could, you know, because you save at one point. So the game's autosave is actually, you know, shortcutting that step where you recall all the way back and restoring your health.
I just felt like, you know, there were two ways. There's this autosave, right? And there's the teleportation. Those are pretty much the two ways that you like can save the game, right?
Yes.
And so as you're moving forward through the game, I'd be like, okay, I either want to find a door here so I can, you know, basically save the game that way, or if I just kept going and I eventually met some obstacle where I would die, then I would have to be forced to use like whatever my latest autosave is, and usually I'm not in a great state, or I've used some resources that I didn't want to use, or what have you. And so I just found, so I would typically teleport back frequently to save, but then I found that created just a bunch of walking around, and so I didn't like either outcome.
Yeah, and I think the autosave actually overwrites your manual save.
It does.
Yeah, I had a problem where I was fighting the death boss, and like I didn't like how my fight turned out. Oh, my pet died, and I didn't want to go pay 100 for him. And right. I thought the boss fight was so easy. It was the Grim Reaper, whatever his name right. was. And I thought, oh, yeah, he was a piece of cake before. You know, maybe he'll drop different things. Because maybe I still have this idea where maybe bosses have a different loot table drop. So I decided I'm just going to reload from my autosave and just fight him. Because I assumed it was right before that. And it was right before that, except I had half my health and my pet was still dead.
So
and he was not beaten.
Yeah, great save weird. Point.
Yeah,
yeah. And weird. The thing is, I was at full health before I fought him. I don't know why it like took away my boss victory, yet you know penalized me because it was a boss who killed my pet.
Right.
So I don't know if that was a bug, but that was another point of frustration. And it was the second time fighting him, it was harder because he really didn't summon skeletons the first time around.
I thought the bosses were pretty creative in general.
Yeah, some of the boss fights were...
I'm just trying to think of all the different boss fights. They were mostly mundane, but I love that rock, paper, scissors boss. That was really
fun. Oh, Gauntlet?
Yeah, I don't know why I like that one so much, but that was really
cool. Because
it was funny to see him do rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
But there's actually a challenge associated with that people try. It's basically load your character of 8 vampire bats and do that entire fight without losing any hit points. Well, vampire bats take you down to 1 hit point, and then you have to do the whole fight without getting hit once.
Well, that's a cool challenge because that's one of the few bosses I think you can get away without taking any damage. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can actually learn the routine and do that one right. I thought that was a really good boss.
I think one of the things that someone touched upon that I thought was pretty neat was the story, because you kind of develop this relationship with your, what was it, spirit that's kind of Zara. Trying to
possessed
you?
Right. I thought he was one note. You know, I did like the interaction. But at the end of the story, is like, it's the same conversation over mm-hmm. and over. Zara, you know, he hates you, and
nobody
you're
does
trying
it,
to
though.
Be like
he does.
Friendly to him or whatever, or just joke with him because
yeah.
he's
no.
There.
You're so talking about that one moment where he feels like human.
Who this person is?
Okay, yeah. So in case you haven't played the game, you go into this dungeon and you get. Possessed by a demon spirit, and he is the guardian of the castle, and he's supposed to have killed you, but he couldn't. I don't remember exactly why that was.
He's supposed to
better
control you.
Yeah, he was a minion. But he can't, and then you turn into kind of a hilarious situation, because you start walking into people and say, I am this guy.
Right, so apparently, he possesses your...
the word hilarious quite loosely.
So you possess he possesses your body, and then you kind of coexist, and he wants you to die so he can get out of your body. And you want to succeed, so you just kind of like laugh off all of his hatred, and he just hates you through the whole game. And he tries to lead you into danger every turn.
Well,
but I thought,
the only way
why does
he can
never,
get out
like,
of your body.
You?
Well, the only
he
way
he never gets crafty. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The only way he can get out of your body is by you dying, right?
Right.
So
no, there is one point where he's like trying to do some reverse psychology.
Yeah,
like,
on the
guy's
the portal,
like, no, I got it. You want dragon. Me to not want me to
no, he
want
never
me
does
do
that.
Yeah,
he does
the
dragon do it.
For the fire level.
Yeah.
With the dragon. He's like, so it's...
No. But then that turns out to be like he legitimately doesn't want you to do this because he might die.
Yeah,
right.
His body's in a different plane.
That's
right.
Just what he says.
Right, he doesn't want to die while you're in this other area. That's the only exception. It sounds like a legitimate concern. He's not... I mean,
he's rooting for you.
He's rooting for you because he will die too. That's
right.
It's self-serving. He's not trying to trick you.
Right.
So I don't think that he reverses his role. He never tries to trick you.
Yeah, he does. Although fighting the tree, you know, don't use axes. I use an axe. Extra
trees,
damage.
Trees hate... this tree is immune to axes and fire.
Yeah, the boss tree.
Okay, he always tries to trick you.
Yes.
Let's reverse
yes.
it. He always tells you the wrong thing
yes.
so that you'll get in danger.
You do
he
the
never gets clever. He never
his,
gets clever.
He does.
His,
so actually, he gives you hints.
Remember
the opposite.
Paul said that at one point he kind of says what the exact opposite. And he goes, he's always trying to trick you. And then at one point he tells you exactly what's going to happen. I don't remember that one.
But I think that was about 10 seconds ago, right?
The while it was one note, it was never boring. It was always entertaining. So I do commend them on that. And then they've got all the pop culture references.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
pop culture reference did you get, Paul?
I'm drawing a blank. I don't remember.
You didn't
remember.
See
no,
anyone?
I'm sure they're in there. I just can't remember.
Did
one.
You see Zoidberg?
Zoidberg?
That's what Scott was going to say.
From
Scott,
Futurama?
Say it. Did you see Zoidberg?
Yeah, I saw Zoidberg in the sewers.
Tarkin. It's
Tarkin,
a trap.
Who? Oh,
it's a trap.
Akbar.
Akbar.
Was it
yeah. No, that's in the catacombs.
Wait, is
it catacombs?
That's in the
yogurt
garden.
Power.
The Yoda yogurt garden. Reference was pretty cool.
Yoda?
Yogurt?
Yeah, with the first
That little
baseballs?
The little Yoda guy. Yeah. The Yoda guy.
The first
There's
guy.
Lots of Yoda
the Oracle.
Guys.
All of the Oracle. Oracle. The Oracle. Sir? The first one he meets looks like Yoda.
They all look like Yoda.
Well, they do. The same they guy. All look like Yoda.
And they all look like lots of Star Trek stuff. They all look like
Star Wars.
What are those guys? What are the guys that come collect? What are they called?
Jawas.
Thank you. I can never come up with that name for whatever reason.
Oh yeah, you have Ed Orc Scissor Claws.
Edward Scissorclaws.
Yeah, Edward Scissorclaws. Edward Scissorhands, right? Mm-hmm. And the really one that I loved was the one Anthony thought was Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a side quest to jump across these pillars with a bottomless pit and then drink the
water,
to turn the fire off, which is a reference to the Golden Child.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, yeah, in my head, it was playing. It was Indiana Jones, like, drink the water and reach for the dagger. I remember the scene so vividly.
You know what sucks about that
wrong,
quest?
It was a wrong movie, yes.
You know what sucks about that quest is I totally thought there was going to be a platform that appeared at the end so you'd have, like, a safe walk on the way back. But no, you had to jump back.
Or portal out.
Yeah.
The lazy man's route. But anyway, I enjoyed the references. And then, of course, King Arthur. And the bureaucracy quest, I think, is tied to my favorite cartoon as a child, Asterix de Gaulle, where they went into the 12th tasks of Asterix, and they have to go into the place that drives you mad and try to get a form. And go to all these different windows up and down the stairs. So that was my favorite.
That was your favorite reference, but
favorite
it was
reference.
An annoying quest.
But it was an annoying. It was a pointless quest. I threw away the weapon right after I got it. I mean, I just did it because I did all the side quests.
I kept all the unique weapons.
Was it unique?
Yeah.
I threw it all. I wanted the money. Need the money.
Wow. Well, my bank has the unique stuff.
So. Paul thought this game was too long for an indie game, or is that just a question?
Your expectations for an indie game.
Well, how long did it take you to complete it?
My playtime was about 17 hours on my save file. And I think that actually if you die and go back...
In Steam or in your save file?
In the save file.
Okay, so that's...
My Steam says like 26 hours.
That's what I want to know. I don't want to know what the save file one.
Well, I wonder.
Yeah, I think it probably does reset.
If you die, like it goes back. Okay, so then I probably lost some time there, significant amount of time.
Sounds like 11 or 10 hours or so.
Which is probably right, because you're dead a lot.
Yeah,
you lose a lot of progress.
I thought that was good. I don't think that the death adding time is necessarily good, but I thought there was a lot of content, and that
there's a lot of content. Yeah,
I didn't. At the end of the game, I wanted to play more, and I wanted to keep leveling up my character. Especially because I was starting to get really powerful. But the game wasn't going to let me do that. So I don't know. I think that was good. A good length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about content. I also like to point, like, I actually paid attention to the music in this game, too.
Okay.
This music and the background music. It did remind me a lot of Castlevania. Some of their tunes, the halls and gardens, are the ones that come to my mind.
Mm-hmm. There was music? How much did this game cost?
What was it?
$10?
$9? $8 or $9?
Anyway, you're saying?
I was just going to say it just comes across as an indie title. And so my expectations going in are that it was not going to take me 26 hours to finish it. And so what I thought it was going to be was like a lighter experience where I could play like, I don't know, 10 hours. Well, 8 to 12 hours or whatever and finish
but
the game.
I think you could. You could beat it in 8 to 12 hours. I mean, mine's at 30 hours in Steam, but
you skipped all the side quests and really if you knew what you were doing.
Side quests is probably going to be the big one because there's something that took a long time to do.
You need that experience.
I don't need that experience.
Treasure. Someone just award treasure.
Yeah, a lot of them just award treasure.
Or so, someone just wants to introduce a pop culture reference.
Right.
Yeah, and so...
especially the bureaucracy quest.
If you skip,
nothing
if
for
you. You skip the side quest, I think you could do it easily in 10, 12 hours.
If you knew what you were doing going in.
Yeah.
No. So can you skip some of those side quests, though?
It's you
like they're like forced on you.
Yeah, but the thing is, no. There's no way you can...
Know that you can... The side quests.
Oh, no, none of that. Like, you've already invested this time to know the game. You can't just say, like, you can go and play this game for 8 hours now. You've already had this experience, this knowledge built up from your previous 20 hours
of play. But I'm saying if I
don't think a new player can come in and just play it for 8 hours.
I think if...
I take it back. If someone told you how to play the game, I think you could probably crash through.
Well, there's also, I mean, an issue that, like, the quests help you. I mean, they give you, like, items and stuff and things that you want to use. And you never know, like, because it's your first playthrough. You don't know what's going to help you and what's going to hurt you. So you end up doing the quests anyway.
I don't know if you'd be high enough level near the end.
You get so many... I don't think the level matter.
I don't think so either.
Your abilities... are magnified by the fact that you have points in those skills.
Yeah, I think
yours
you
are,
the hit
but
points
his
and
are the ones that need help. Like, I could skip most guys.
No, I mean, I beat the end game with just the level 12 bow.
So. Yeah, but what level were you, though?
I was like level
16. 16. Like probably all of us were.
Yeah.
But I mean, level 12, that's the minimum requirement for the bow. And
If you're level 12, you might be hurting a little bit.
I found that you could run through the elves and not fight most of them.
Yeah.
So that's really the strategy. Is you don't need to do damage. You just need to survive and go through. So you don't really need to be that high level to do that.
It's probably more fighting, I would say. Going through the regular
minions. No, I've actually watched Chris's playthrough of the final battle. Gave me some ideas because basically I went through in a standard clear everything and... before moving to the next screen, Chris was just like, run past them.
Yeah, skip most guys. Don't encounter. You know, anybody I don't have to kill, I don't.
And, you're and how long did it take sequence. You to finish the game? I mean, it still takes a long time.
Chris finished faster than I did.
Okay, that's still a long time.
And I did all the side quests.
Right, it's true.
Actually, I think I did more side quests than you.
There's just so many unknowns in this game.
Yeah, because there's also this... your save file says one thing, but there's all this knowledge you're accruing and repeating, too.
No, I'm not saying it's a short game, and I definitely agree that it takes over 20 hours. I don't agree that it could be completed in 10 hours.
Yeah,
you're arguing with me against a position I don't have.
I don't know. I didn't think it'd be a short game because I knew it was an RPG, and given all the mechanics that they're introducing into the game, it just seemed like it was going to be a big game.
But I do think that indie games tend to seem like they're going to be focused on one or two mechanics, just really short.
Right.
But
let's give the indies some credit here.
Yeah, I think this guy delivered quite a bit of a game.
Yes.
Again. Possibly too ambitious. Possibly a lot of things that failed. But
one thing that I didn't think. Two things. First off, I like the ability to sort my inventory.
Yeah,
Blue Ish sorts so badly. Second thing is, I don't think the Diablo-esque random item dropping thing ever caught on. I was kind of excited because I was like, I can get this random loot and gear, but. Always the unique items were 9 times out of 10 were better.
Because they had unique...
I never looked at the...
What do you call it? Fixes?
Green and blue items. Yeah.
Abilities. They had unique abilities. And the random loot, random magic items you get...
Yeah, I got like
faster attack or attack twice.
Sword of insect slaying. Sword of orc slaying.
Actually, the weapons I got were always worse than the regular ones. Like, as I was progressing, I would buy one from a shop... And then I would get one that was like 3 levels below, and it did like 50% more damage to insects, but it constantly did 40% less damage. Why would I equip that?
All the magic ones are better than anything you drop. You buy the current robe, you buy the current style.
The only unique sword I got was Excalibur at the end, right? Like almost right before the end of the game. So that didn't really matter. The drops were... inconsequential.
I was upgrading my axe from drops.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I actually didn't buy any weapons from any stores.
I only bought armor later on.
Swords is just a bad one to go with, I guess.
No,
until you get Excalibur.
It would be the same with the axe.
This is the Diablo thing, it's random. You don't know. Because I find a lot of... I'm finding higher level halberds,
I love halberds.
That are higher than my level. I can't even invest the points to get to equip them.
So one thing on weapons,
slow.
My total random thought, is they tell you what maces do. They tell you what swords do. After that, do they tell you what anything else does?
No.
It's like...
Well, daggers. They tell you what daggers do.
Daggers are fast.
Backstab.
After that, though, it's like...
Backstab.
But they don't tell you what a halberd does. They don't tell you what a polearm does. You can figure out it's got longer range.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what any of the weapons did, so I didn't use them.
Right.
I experimented with the weapons, and that's why I settled on my axe.
And then to kind of add on to this, where we talk about like specializations and grief and whatnot, there's Alterations School of Magic that gives you certain buffs to items. Or same thing with the fire or ice, but they only affect certain classes. Like the fire one only works on swords and daggers. The ice imbue weapon of ice only works on maces. The holy one only works on maces. So it's like it's a double whammy because it's like I have to have the right skill and have the right school of magic in order to get the cool
effect. That's why they give that one respec. Yeah, I went no magic.
So let's wrap this up by talking about the battle mechanics, because that's kind of an important aspect and something we haven't talked about yet.
It is not a Metroidvania game without double jump.
Okay, I can accept that.
You get double jump in multiplayer?
In multiplayer, that's why when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, wow.
I also don't think that without being able to hit everybody in a swipe, that's kind of an important aspect.
You get stacking
guys, and you can only hit one at a time. That's weird.
You get them through special items.
One special item.
Actually, there's three.
Okay. A very small set.
But the basic gameplay itself only lets you hit one.
Right.
Yeah. And that, to me, that takes away the action neat part of the game.
And the whole thing was kind of slow. I mean, I didn't, the casting times, the swinging of your weapons, everything, and you had to pause, stop. Mm-hmm. And attack, all these things just slowed down the game and just made the combat kind of meh to me.
Yeah. Once again, I always complain about this set. It was not a very action-y game for me. I treated it more like a Mario with swords.
It wasn't even Mario, though. The jumping did not feel like Mario. Like in Mario, when you jump up, you can actually control your guy a little bit back and forth.
In this game, kind of
there's a little.
No, there is. Just a little.
Just a little.
Just
yes.
a little. Right. And the other thing is that like when you jump up towards. Like, you're trying to jump onto another platform, right, from down below. Not, like, jumping across. You can't, because your head will, like, hit the top. In Mario, you actually, like, get bumped a little bit, and you go around, and you can actually
Get in Mario, I think you can angle your jump up, right? You can jump up and angle it.
Yeah.
This one, you can only control your descent.
So you have to make just very minor adjustments, to go a little bit to the right so you can get up. You can go all the way back and do a running jump.
And I think the air control is limited completely. Like, you can only do so much adjustment. Because, if you fall five stories, you can't stop your descent. Even though you would expect that, even with a minor amount of control, eventually you could stop yourself. You can't. You always continue on your original path. You can only do it maybe for a second or two.
Yeah.
It makes it a frustrating platformer. I mean, I just feel like you lose control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the jumping is weird. A lot of the jumping is very precise, and it's very, I wrote down floaty, because I think, you jump and you
get some air
later.
Time.
Even if you, hit the ceiling, you stay in the air for a little while, and then you land.
Float across.
Right. I think those are limitations of his engine.
What engine was he using?
Don't know, but it sounds like it, because I play other games and it's just like.
This is just speculation.
I'm speculating.
It's better than the original Castlevania.
No,
the jumping. Castlevania's jump is very fixed.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, the original Castlevania. Yes, I'm sorry.
Mario gets more control. That's why I sort of tied this to Mario versus, Metroid or the Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, but games have progressed since, 1985 or whatever.
It's a different kind of thing.
You want it to feel better like Mario, not like Castlevania.
I don't know. That's why I feel like there's many kinds of side-scroll,
Even the original Mario had better jumping, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is better, but Castlevania's jumping is very, very horrible.
It was very short, too. You can only
like a giant weight. You jump up, and then you fall down like a giant weight.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Castlevania 1. The
Metroid's jumping felt better than this.
Oh, yeah, much better.
Yeah.
So tell me, people who didn't use swords, does your weapon hit everything that your little animation slices across? Do you hit?
Like with axes?
Yeah.
No. I couldn't tell.
So what happened I would swing my sword, and it would just swipe through a guy and not cause any damage.
Yeah, no, I have that problem all the time.
Yeah, but I think
fortunately, it also...
With axes?
With axes. It's like the animation is different than the actual hit boxes and everything.
Right.
But also works to my advantage, because the enemy, when I think I'm going to get hit by them, doesn't actually hit me.
Right. It does work both ways, but it's fuzzy. It's inconsistent.
That's why I can't rely on my reflexes for that.
Well, it's like snakes, they have this long tail, but you can't hit the tail. You can only hit their body, which is upright.
I didn't have this problem with halberds.
Yeah, you got super long range, right?
Mm-hmm. Poke them. That's what I did. I'd switch to a spear and poke them.
That's what I did, too.
Against snakes.
Well, and that, I think, was one of the things that caused me to fall back on fire, is that fire was a lot more consistent.
Because it will stop when it hits something.
Right. And you know what it's going to hit. I mean, you it's just a lot more reliable. Anyway, so is there anything else that anyone wants to talk about battle mechanics? I think there's just one more thing I want to say about the multiplayer. the home base was awesome.
Yes. I thought it was cool.
Every time you...
Is it a persistent thing?
Yeah, a persistent thing. Like, you unlock vendors and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's like this whole little town that's your home base.
Yeah.
And as you play through more levels, you grow your character.
Yeah, it's kind of what I think Anthony and Chris and I wanted, which was the ability to just keep on playing your character, use it over and over again, because you can replay these missions over and over again with your new gear, your new equipment.
Because your characters are persistent.
Yeah.
So a question on the multiplayer then. Could you just play it with one person?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you couldn't finish, like the slime one you probably couldn't do. Maybe. I don't know. That would be hard.
Do you keep the rewards after you die? If you fail the mission?
Well, you don't get anything until you complete the boss, really.
Oh, so you're
already in progress.
You get experience.
Yes, if you save and quit, drops, then Chris, you'll...
We picked up some items from drops from random mobs.
Yes, so yes, you would say that. But the best stuff drops at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But as long as you know you're not losing all that progress from failing a mission.
But I thought going into this game that this was going to be a half-baked game because it's still a Steam Early Access game. But it turns out just the multiplayer is half-baked, and the single player is supposed to be 100% done. So I don't know what the multiplayer is going to end up being like, but that's where I think the action is going to be. That's what I think
That's where you think the replay is going to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the single player was good overall, but I think the real fun of this game is going to come from being able to have this ongoing character and persistent, you know, ownership of town. Anyway, so with that in mind, is there anything else? Anyone wants to say final words about Unepic? All right, so we're going to move on, take a break, and come back with next month's game. Back. Okay, for next month, we have a selection by me, I guess. Kind of a group selection, but we have did you kickstart?
I kickstarted.
You just bought it on Steam?
Yep.
Okay, so Glorious and I kickstarted this game, Shadowrun Returns, and we like it. We think the rest of the people should play it, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to play Shadowrun Returns, and the reason I want... the reason I have an infatuation with Shadowrun is in high school, Ricky and Paul, and I don't know if Scott, did you play?
Yeah, Samurai. Everyone here except Glorious.
Everyone except Glorious at one point played Shadowrun tabletop RPG a lot. And so, I've got a long history. I maybe have my stack of books. I have every edition of Shadowrun, first through fifth, and that's just... you know, a long, lifelong love of that game. So, Jordan Weissman creates a new version. Very exciting. And I think it's pretty good. So,
Is FASA still around?
FASA...
He actually has a post on the Kickstarter updates where he actually explains the long, convoluted route of licensing that people own bits and pieces of licensing. I think he finally ended up licensing it again, but it goes from FASA, Microsoft, Virtual World.
There's FASA Interactive, which is owned by Microsoft, and pretty much all the rights to anything FASA made is owned by Microsoft.
Wow.
So that, you know, that's, they have trouble with the game is only, the expansion packs are only going to be released via Steam after the first one, and they offered a DRM free version of the game. But it's not going to support the expansion packs after the first one because they could only get the licensing from Microsoft to release it with DRM.
Wow.
Or the first ones, they got exceptions, but the later ones, they don't have that license. So People are angry about that. But anyway, that's a whole other ball. I don't know what the deal is with FASA. I think Catalyst Game Labs, which are published the pen and paper, I think they own pretty much all the rights. They Battletech.
Right. That's Shadow what I heard. They get, FASA was sold to those guys.
Yeah. They're publishing all these things, and this is the year of Shadowrun. There's going to be a card game. There's going to be the tabletop game.
Card collectible
like
card
week.
Or a car driving car?
That would be awesome. Card. I want a Shadowrun Returns car.
Dog wagon.
Anyway, so if you'd like to join us playing next month's game and you want to send in comments, you can do so at podcast@10-hp.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, 10HP Podcast. Let's see, upcoming games. Now we're going to move into a section called Bonus HP, where each of us gets 5 minutes to talk about anything we want to talk about. And let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Scott, go.
Crap.
Scott's pounding candy right now.
Come back to me.
Glorious, go.
I got nearly nothing else much to add. I mean, work's been busy, so...
Have you been playing any other games?
Paul brings a very good point. Most recently, a lot of us at this table have been playing League of Legends, all random, all mid matches together. And it's been actually kind of a neat way for us to reconnect and play.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And hang out with friends and chat and say, ugh, this sucks, or, oh, man, we really kicked ass in that game, or something like that.
I like the low stress of Aram. I hate the fact that it's Aram, because I have been getting people I don't know how to play, and I'm like,
it's low stress, low involvement, because basically if you start off a character and you suck at it, it's ARAM.
Yeah, there's low expectations.
Yeah, LOL is still a hostile work environment.
It's less hostile in ARAM.
But did you know, 27% of friendly summoners win
the
game.
Actually,
we play this game for over an hour, right? And it's like back and forth where no one's winning. And I'm the last guy alive, and I'm getting attacked by a guy who moves faster than me. So I just go all out. I'm a moo-moo. And I use my ult, and I use everything, trying to take him down, but I don't. And some guy goes, why did you use your ult? Oh, my God! And I'm like, well, the death timer is pretty much as long as my ult cooldown. But I got chewed out for using my ult when it wasn't a team battle, and it was just one-on-one.
But when you know...
Why did you use your ult? And why don't you do it like a Frenchman?
No, but, I mean, like I said, it's the environment's gotten a lot better now that they've introduced
the voting
things. Before people were just chewing out for everything. Here, it's like, yeah, occasionally you get them, but most of the time, actually, I found most people like, you did what you did.
Right.
You could. So.
Yeah, I've been playing.
It's been more.
It's better even in the normal games, not just Aram, just because over time they've put in a lot of mechanics that reduce the bad people. So it's just the game's gotten so good over the last, 3 years, 4 years that we've been playing it, something like that.
Have we been playing for 4 years?
Yeah, it's it came out in 2009.
Wow.
Yeah. I still haven't stuck my nose into the regular ranked games, but Aram's kind of nice. It's low stress.
Yeah, ranked games are still vicious. Stay away.
Ricky.
Ricky.
He likes to talk about Ricky?
I do like to talk about Ricky. I like to talk about Ricky in the third person because Ricky's just that awesome.
I see.
Been playing any other games besides Shadowrun Returns?
No, that's probably it. No, I played...
Unepic.
Lakers?
Unepic. Sorry?
Lakers?
I played the Lakers.
No, is there any news?
Any news?
I know you're a big Lakers fan.
I'm a big Lakers fan, and it's too sad to talk about.
Okay.
So I did play Company of Heroes, because I'm too cheap to buy the second one.
The first one, right. I've been seeing you on the Steam version.
Yeah, so the Steam version is takes you back.
You're just playing the single player?
Yeah, no. Don't play enough to...
Is it better at patching? Because I hated patching that stupid game.
I don't know. I haven't patched it. I guess it's... So
Steam takes care of that, right?
Right, I would hope so.
Yeah.
But remember, you had to apply like four different patches, and one of them was like 3 gigs. And
all of you uninstall and reinstall from
it's
scratch.
Because you had to. They had to give you all the expansion art without actually owning it. Remember?
Right.
Yeah. So that's why it was so big.
So you've been playing that, and you like it.
Yep.
Takes you back, and that's a good thing.
Well, so I thought of something now. It takes me back because, as we talked about in high school, and now I am. 36.
Five, six.
You don't live a day over 20.
No, I'm 34.
Almost 20 years ago.
Almost 20 years ago when I came here.
When you graduated.
Actually, more than 20 years I came here. I came here at 15.
Yeah.
So I've known
He's
Paul
from New Zealand, by the way.
A long time ago. Yeah. I think I sat behind Paul 22 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So it's been a long time.
It really has.
Did you play Company of Heroes? Like, because we played it a lot. I don't know, four or five years ago. Okay, you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you guys got bored, and I kept on playing. Like, wow. You guys got bored, I kept on playing. And
like
Star Wars.
Star Wars and every
you guys got
other
bored,
game.
I kept on playing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So you'll be playing on an Epic next month?
Probably. No, that game sucks.
Anthony.
I've been racing in Path of Exile.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
The season's over on the 10th or the 8th of this month.
How many points do you have?
18.
What tier is that for items and stuff?
I'm on my way to the third item. Huh? And the thing is, yeah, I'm going to try and get to the third item. Totally different mentality, and they released a new mode. No town, a new map. It's called Descent, and all you're doing is just playing on this map and fighting. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a special race map.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I never played this, so I got worked the first time because it's really new. It's
cool. Racing in Path of Exile is hardcore mode Diablo 2 kind of gameplay. But if you get to a certain level, then you get a reward in their race system, and the rewards eventually unlock tiers of special items that you can only get by racing.
Yeah.
And they're really hard. The first couple of times Anthony raced, he didn't even get to the points. Like, he didn't even earn 1 point for racing.
Yeah. And I'm watching these people. And the thing is, I get into this culture, and I'm watching people who are, you know, they literally, it's racing. You're competing against other people trying to be number one ranked.
Sounds like Eve. I hated that game.
Oh, well, no, this is Diablo.
Everybody knows what they're doing. Just kick your ass.
Well, this thing is, so, like, when you get into it, no, I'm watching people. I haven't done, what's it called, practice races or, you know, keeping track of splits, but that's what people do. And actually, the first time, I don't watch Twitch or whatever, you know, streaming lol like you guys do, but I started going to Twitch to watch people race on Path of Exile.
Strategizing.
Yeah. And I want to talk about another game, too.
Sure.
You introduced me to Rogue Legacy.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I was playing that.
Much better Metroidvania game.
Oh, yes. Much better. In terms of action.
Right.
Yeah.
But better game in general. I think it's more polished. It doesn't do... I don't know that it does anything, I would say, wrong. I mean, maybe it's not the best game, but I don't think
I don't know. I discussed it.
They're
one
totally
day.
Different games.
They're totally different. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not managing. It's not an RPG. It's RPG in a different way. I mean, you're like building up a passive, you know, passive abilities and everything. But you're going through like a single life, single character, like a well, I don't know. I guess original Castlevania game.
So, do you know the premise of Rogue Legacy, Ricky?
I didn't know the premise of the game before, and I just kept on nodding.
Yeah, but anyway, so I gave that like 3 solid days, and I'm like, you know, taking on bosses. I'm like, oh, but
it
I sort of want to play
actually
some
is
Steam.
That was a segue
what
to tell the
you?
Premise of the game.
Apparently, we missed that.
Okay, we're going to get to it as soon as it's done. Thing.
Yeah, so basically, gave it 3 solid days, and I'm waiting for a sale so I could buy it.
What level are you?
Oh, shoot, level 100 and something?
Yeah. So the game Rogue Legacy is, it's a roguelike Metroidvania game where you go through...
Are you racing?
No. Kind of. I mean, you're getting as far as you can with one life. You go through, it's a side scroller, you're hitting things flying around in the sky. And
think of action-paced unepic.
Yeah. Bullet hell, you know, you're trying to dodge things that are shooting you from, you know, through walls and stuff. And then when you die... You come back as your heir.
Your child.
Child. And they have weird traits, like maybe they're colorblind, so the game is now black and white. Or they're nearsighted, and they can't see things far away. Or
Vertigo.
That is the one trait I will
I
not play with.
I won't pick that either.
The game is upside
game
down.
The game is upside down. So you're on the roof, and when you jump, you go down.
No, you're on the floor, and when you jump, you go up.
Right.
But there's all kinds of things. There's like, what was it, hyper something, steroids, whatever, where if you swing and you hit people, it knocks them further.
Gargantuism, so you're like twice as big, so you get hit by everything, but you also hit really far away. And then there's dwarfism, you're really small, and you can fit through doors that you normally can't go through.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat, and it's definitely much more action-oriented. You can go through speed.
So every time you go through the dungeon, you're getting gold. And then... your heir gets all your gold, and you spend it to upgrade your castle, which gives you permanent bonuses to the game. You can also buy items like armor that
get passed down
for generation to generation, and runes, which are magical effects that give you the ability to double jump,
fly, slide,
drop extra potions, make enemies harder, make enemies weaker. So you're just buying all these things, and they get more and more expensive as you go on. So it's
you eventually get build a more powerful character.
Right.
I'm surprised Anthony's at level 100 because I'm like, what, 20, 30? I don't know.
Yeah, I've only defeated two bosses. I'm like,
I haven't defeated any boss.
80, yeah. I've only beat two. Maybe I'm third, my third. But yeah, I've just been collecting gold. And
I got 25K in a dungeon. I got some. You go in and randomly found a temple to pray at. And it caused everybody to drop more coins.
What?
And I was already a spelunker, which drops like 30% more gold, and I've invested a huge amount. I was making like 22 gold per coin, and every coin was dropped. Every guy was dropping like 3 coins.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because Well, I make like 20,000 on a run, but I'm going through clearing out three areas.
The thing you should know is that unless you invest points in it later down the line, each run you have to basically either spend your money or lose it.
Yeah, you lose all your money when you go back into the dungeon. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I thought it was actually... I was debating having it paired along Unepic, but I saw how people were progressing through Unepic. I was like, why add another game?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, no one game is enough.
Yeah.
And, that game should have been Rogue Legacy.
No. You can select it as your game.
It's more expensive. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to do two things, too, because I can't self-edit. Adventurito was this month, and I don't know if you guys know what that is, but Chipotle had a contest for 20 days where you have to solve a puzzle every day, and you enter into a chance to win like a Chipotle year's worth of burritos.
Like,
and
then Chipotle for life, right?
Well, no, and then if you answer all 20 puzzles and then answer the 20th puzzle, you could win burritos for 20 years. And, you know,
I hope this story has a good ending.
The puzzles were freaking hard, insanely hard and annoying. It was not a fun thing to do. It was research on the internet. There were eventually people who started posting the answers to Reddit, and that was like the only way I got through some of the puzzles. But it was a nightmare to do these things. Were so hard.
What's an example?
Are they like Jeopardy level type of
trivia? No. They're trivia about Chipotle. Like, they might say, what was the first place that... they don't really say it in this way, but they'll say, like, Chipotle got to start dealing with this farm or this place. And then you have to type in the name of the place. And the place is Neiman Ranch. But they don't accept Neiman Ranch. What they accept is a promotional material where it's called Pigtopia. And that was, like, one time used in an ad that Chipotle made. It's not the name of the place. It's nothing to do with it, but that's the only thing they accept. So then later on they were asking for the names of people listed on the IPO for for Chipotle, and I mean, they just had some seriously hard ones.
Well, then, if you're going to give away burritos for 20 years, I think you're somewhat incentivized to make it difficult, right?
Well, you're in a drawing.
Yeah, you're in a drawing. You're not going to get these if you do this. You're going to be like one in...
I know, but you want to...
thousands of people who
you want to cut down the numbers.
You're overrating the number of people who play Chipotle.
Well, then, you could just go online and get the answer and type it in. So it's not hard. But the people who actually did it, it was really painful. But then at the end, the 20th question was other pieces of information from the same source 20 times for all the different questions. So, like, the IPO one, they asked what the price was on the IPO.
Okay, you can still find it.
Right, you can go back to your source and re-research that, but it was like 20 times the research at the end. And then the last one, the very last question was, they had printed on the receipts a code that you could text to them to get a clue on today's puzzle, and all the codes add up to the words in a very long sentence. So you can like take the letters from those codes and put them in and create this really long sentence about Chipotle. And you have to figure out, you use one word, every letter one time, and create this sentence. And it was a lot of work.
Did you win?
Not fun.
Yeah, it ended today. So I don't know if I've won. I probably didn't because there are lots of people playing. I didn't win any of the other days. I didn't win any of the daily deals.
That reminds me of Didn't Denny's have a promotional thing like that? If you had to go to one Denny's in all 50 states, and then you could basically win Denny's for life or something.
Well, probably spend more
if
traveling.
If you got it, if yeah. you got it for doing it, I would be okay. But yeah. this is a contest, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So you're doing it next year?
It wasn't an adventure. It wasn't fun. I, you
we
know,
just wait for the answers on Reddit.
Right. Exactly. That's what I should have done.
Put your name
most
into
the
drawing.
I should have wasted any time actually solving these puzzles.
And you didn't read the fine print. You could also just enter the drawing by sending your name on a postcard right. to this address.
He's got you there.
It does.
It does, yeah. Anyway, so failure, Chipotle. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was I've been playing Euro Truck Simulator.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
now up to like 25, 26 hours in that. And I don't understand what I don't understand why simulators get such a bad rap and why people don't think that they're just throwaway games and why nobody makes high-quality simulators.
Because this generation has attention deficit disorder.
When I was growing up, all the games that I mean, not all the games. A lot of the games I played were simulators. I had flight sims. I had
the 15
medical
Strike Eagle.
Simulators.
World War II
fighter simulators.
Well, there was this game my dad played a lot, which was an operation simulator, and you had to sanitize the area, make precision cuts, use clips to draw back the skin, use clamps to separate things, pull out organs, put in new organs, and it was a lot like Surgeon Simulator, only it was realistic, and like you could actually kill somebody just making a bad cut or something, and you had to cauterize bleeding wounds and stuff like that. I mean. It was a realistic simulation of,
it's a simulator.
It's a simulator. And so many games used to be simulators, but now all the simulators come from this one studio and they cost like $5 or $10 and they're crappy games.
Well, it's a high barrier to entry. I mean, you talk about like space flight simulators or space games, where they have the Newtonian physics. It's just hard. People don't get they're used to the old arcadey feel.
What was that BattleTech simulator place we went to in Triangle Square?
Virtual World.
Yeah. But and that's a different kind of simulator.
Yeah, that's like a battle simulation. That's a video game.
That is a video game. It really was. But it was about creating the experience of. Yeah. I just don't understand why you can't put real development effort into simulation. I mean, I think Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah.
It's tongue in cheek, but mostly it's a realistic.
That's actually what I was going to talk about. Yeah, Kerbal Space Program.
The thing is, like, is it worth catering to a small market?
Well, is the market small? I mean,
Kerbal Space Program is actually
Euro
pretty
Truck
big.
Simulator is that it's actually pretty successful, and I think that
I bought it.
I think that Euro Truck Simulator proves that there's a market for this, and the reason most of these games don't get played is because they suck, not because there's no market. Yeah. I mean, they really don't make good games.
Because I'm trying to think. Like, sure. Back then, we're all interested. Like, we know a lot of people were interested in, model F-15s, model tanks, planes, and everything. And there's a lot of those simulators for that. And,
people want to do things that they can't get their hands on. They can't do.
I think, what are we now?
Even if they're realistic things.
Yeah, think about the younger generation. What are they interested in?
Kind of old enough to have
Minecraft.
Why can't they be interested in trucks and.
Wasn't real life
things that you could simulate?
Wasn't SimCity supposed to like bring back the sim a little bit with SimCity, but it kind of failed because it wasn't accurate sim at all.
I don't think it was ever. I think that was the expectation people had, but SimCity ultimately
a glorified social project.
SimCity,
yes,
right,
yes.
And that's what made it bad is that it's all about this.
Right, they tried to do two.
It's all about your people and their feelings and not really about a city simulation. It's about,
Right. It's about
creating like this virtual world like Farmville on.
Yeah.
I felt it was like, they try to tie in too much of the, social
aspects. Social aspects.
That Chris's list of games has SimCity and The Sims in his pile.
Well, those are my physical games. Most of my games are on Steam, but yeah. Anyway, I think that there is a place for simulations, and I'm sad that nobody produces high quality ones.
There is. I think it's a niche place, like Anthony was talking about, though. And I mean, the question is, are the games bad, and that's why no one plays them, or is it because no one plays them, and so the games are bad, as in, like, you know, they can't get any money.
So what made me think this is that I'm playing Euro Truck Simulator, and there are some obvious faults in the game. You know, I've got to make this hard left turn, right? And I cut it a little bit too close, and there's a car pulled up right next to me that wants to make a left turn, and it keeps inching forward, making it even harder for me to turn, and sure. I can't do anything about that. I got to this point in the traffic where there was a line of cars stuck at a red light, and I needed to make a left across these cars, but cars kept coming, and they would always block the intersection. And I would, like, inch all the way up to almost where I was hitting the car, and no one would stop to let me go because there's just no AI there for that. So I could never get out of that parking lot. I had to quit the game and come back, and the car's all reset. But
so you're saying there's a bug.
Did you make a bunch of rights?
It's not a bug. It's just a poor AI.
Well, right. I mean, it's...
But it's still a high-quality game. Euro Truck Simulator?
Well, it's the best quality for, you know, the type of game, but it's not a high-quality game. It does look pretty good.
Yeah.
But so here's another example. If you miss an off-ramp, you have to drive an hour out of your way to the next city, and that's where the only next off-ramp will be.
Right.
There's no turnabouts. There's no, like, all these little things that could be modeled in.
Or maybe that's what it really is. Maybe simulating.
If you're an Autobahn, there's the next off-ramp.
No, every single thing is only exits at cities.
Okay. Yeah.
So do they have, like, a time speed-up?
Yes. The whole, thing scaled, like, 10 times.
Okay, good.
So it takes, like, you know... You drive 5 hours in 20 minutes or...
Oh, so it's not a real simulator.
It's a simulator.
I remember... Wasn't there
an accelerated simulation.
Wasn't there a joke game out there that...
Desert Bus?
Was it Desert Bus? Where they basically were just driving in the desert and that's it the entire game?
Yep. Penn & Teller's were making that game and it never was released, but there's still people that got their hands on it.
Chris educated me on that game and showed me a demo.
The whole thing is it's a real-time bus ride from... Phoenix to
Vegas or something.
Yeah, Vegas to Reno or something. I don't know. It takes wherever it takes. It takes 8 hours to get from one place to the next. And your truck has a slight lean to the right, so it's always driving off the road.
Oh, God.
And you don't have an accelerator. You just go, and you have to steer and keep it on the road. And if you go off the road, then you crash, and they tow you back to the town that you're closest to in real time. And when you get to the other side, your only reward is you get 1 point. And then they ask you if you want to pull a double shift and go back the other way.
Shoot me now.
So there's a Child's Play charity that every year does this. They do Desert Bus for Life. And they get, like, it's a marathon. People donate to them playing this game. And they try to do as many runs as they can back to back. And they not one person, but they have, like, a team that trades off and plays.
I'd rather just donate the cash and not play.
Well, they do this to get people to donate. But
that's why you do those things. You torture people.
Yeah. Right.
I'll pay you to torture yourself.
Right. So it's been pretty successful. You know,
but the reason this game was made because it's a commentary, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look it up on Wikipedia.
The simulator game suck.
What's that? That's simulators. I don't know.
That's the commentary, right?
Anyway, this simulator could be better in a lot of ways, and it's just not. Paul.
Yes, so I've been busy with real life things, so I'm just going to use this time to shamelessly plug our podcast. I know Chris is kind of leery of not asking for people to review us on iTunes, but I'd like people to review us on iTunes. And if you give us a 5-star review, I'll have Ricky somehow work your iTunes name into the next podcast. So that's a promise from me.
So I worked in two names of recent additions to the 10 Up Podcast Extended Family. 10HP.
10HP.
All right,
10HP. Welcome. Get it right.
So I worked in two names, so if you listen hard, you might catch them.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about it.
Okay. Scott.
Well, I guess I'll talk about what I've been playing, which is Minecraft with mods. So they had this pack out for a while called the Technic Pack, and it's basically improved logic and stuff. I don't know. I'm a sucker for sandbox games that basically give you unlimited freedom to basically do whatever you want. So I've been playing a bunch of that.
Is that, are you playing a multiplayer or are you just
single? I set up a server with all these mods. Right now it's a server of one.
That's popular. So what are the mods are?
Where
are
it's basically, it's a package. It's called the Technic Pack. It's a package of 20 mods. Some of them are like electronic mods or like engineering mods, but basically it's stuff that you could use to, let's say if you wanted to move stuff from chest A to chest B. I mean, Minecraft is supremely boring, you know, unloading a chest, moving it to another chest, and that's just dumb. So right. What they do is they simplify those factors by adding like pipes and sorters, stuff like that. Stuff that would takes all the mundane stuff in Minecraft and basically just removes it. So you can basically just create stuff or even create, you know, stuff using the packs and stuff to have it do some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm always looking for better ways to do stuff when I play Minecraft because, like, I want to create weird contraptions, but then they're so difficult to create.
Right, right. Yeah, you're like, oh, I built this wonderful base. Now I got to move all my crap into it right. And stuff like that. It's just like...
The problem is I get in the same position you're in, which I play by myself, and then, like, I'm going to build this food dispenser. If anyone comes, they just press it and get food.
Yeah,
and
you'll
then,
be like, yeah.
I'm never going to press it because I always have food because I have to put the food in the machine.
Right. I heard on another podcast, I think, Minecraft is basically like playing... You're playing in a world where it's like the end of the world and you're the only one left in the world and you build these wonderful things that basically no one will pretty much see.
Right.
But you do it for your own self-enjoyment.
Exactly. It's weird like that. I don't know. I need to find a new game.
Well, EverQuest. EverQuest next. Have you seen the videos for that?
Oh, no. No.
We were just talking about that today. Voxel-based gameplay. Not totally, but... you could build structures and destroy structures in deformable voxels.
That's cool.
And there's a editor, like you can buy plots of lands and build castles and stuff on it.
Is it free to play?
Monsters can come destroy the stuff.
It's not going to be a subscription,
is
it?
It's going to be a subscription. Oh. It's EverQuest. It's going to be an MMO.
Really? Because, you know, isn't Blizzard moving away from subscription?
Everyone's
kind
of moving away. So, yeah. They're, you know... Yeah. This is announced. This is in the future. Who knows what it'll actually
be. I'm actually also getting excited about, I don't know, I'm sounding like a dork here, but about DC Infinite Crisis. I kind of want to see what that's like.
MOBA? Is that a MOBA?
That's the MOBA.
MOBA, yeah. DC. Actually, I think it's actually going to be hold some potential because the DC as opposed to Marvel is a little bit more fantastic. Or
no, fantasy. Marvel's got Mr. Fantastic. Oh, can't top that.
Anyway, well, DC has a Mr. Fantastic.
It lends itself well to,
or no,
individual character.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, that's our show. I hope you had a good time. If you want to contribute to next month's show, play.
Shadowrun
Returns, thank you. And send us your email, podcast@10-hp.com, or follow us on Twitter at 10hppodcast. All right, good night from 10hp.
Good night.
Good night.
Play more on the Epic.
'Watched Daddy playing a game. What did you think of it?
It was so cool.
Why was it cool?
Because that guy is shooting bad guys down, and he got burned down two times, and he shoot himself back up, and he shoot little stuff down.
What? That's pretty complex. What was your favorite part?
Shooting bats down.
Shooting bats down? Were they bad bats?
No, they're bad guy bats.
Bad guy bats. Okay.
Okay,
what did you like about that game?
Shooting the bats down.
Oh, that's very creative. All right, thank you, guys.